1 Corinthians chapter 12, continuing on with our Bible study about the church. There are many ways to teach, many ways to learn. Perhaps the most effective, for most people anyway, is through metaphors and similes and parables. It's a matter of taking something familiar to describe something unfamiliar. Thank you. When Jesus taught, he used parables, and he used things such as farming and things that people were accustomed to in order to show and teach much more difficult subject matters. Amen? Throughout the Word of God, there are many metaphors and similes and so forth concerning the church. We've been talking about the church being individuals. We're talking about the church becoming or being groups of people. Perhaps the most effective, in my way of thinking anyway, description in the Bible concerning the church is a thing called the body of Christ. And you know, sometimes we may think, Brother Dave, as we were taught in the old days of Pentecost, that, well, that just meant Jesus' hands outreach and Jesus' voice speaking. And that is part of the body of Christ. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul is talking about a human body. Now, I'm not a biologist. I'm not into anatomy or I'm an ignorant man in those ways, which makes this even better of a teaching, because Paul was not writing to biologists. He was not writing to doctors. As a matter of fact, if you do any study of history, he was writing to the Church of Corinth. The Church of Corinth has been known to be the most carnal and problematic church that Paul had anything to do with. If you were writing a resume to get hired as a pastor, you probably would be tempted to omit that you started or pastored or helped the Church of Corinth. Everyone knew it was problematic. And Paul used this teaching to teach these folks who really knew nothing about the subject a very important truth concerning the church. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read from the Message today. Now, somebody, before you judge me, let me tell you I read from several different translations in this. But chapter 12, verse 12 through 31, 1 Corinthians, we're going to read the first two sentences, first two verses that says this. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works. Talking about the workings of the church. Talking about our position in the church. Talking about how we should be responsible and part of this thing called the church. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts. Are you with me so far? Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, and cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. I'm going to stop and let that sink in just for a second. You may be a whole lot smarter. Some of y'all have been trained in this and went to nursing school. You can name a whole lot more body parts and body systems than I can. But when you get all done with the list, you're still a body. Okay? It's exactly the same with Christ. Now, please listen to this. It's important. It's not a little bit like it. It's not, you could get this out of it. It's exactly what he's about to tell us about the human body is exactly how it is with Christ and his church. By means of his one spirit, can someone tell me the name of his one spirit? By means of the Holy Ghost, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. As we read on, you'll see why I chose this particular translation. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each one of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger and more comprehensive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of folks in and out of the church who are seeking counsel today. And I think that's a good thing in many, many cases. But you know, I don't care if you talk to a counselor, a therapist, a psychologist, or a psychiatrist. You will normally find one commonality. When you're overwhelmed, over troubled, begin to get depressed, you're usually told, go find something else to do. Go volunteer. Go help somebody. Get your mind off of your own little life and put it on someone else's life. Now, I don't think I'm taking this out of context here when I choose to read that we need something larger and more comprehensive. We have come. I don't know how long it's been for at least 63 years. I know that's as old as I am. Well, almost 63. And it's been that way for 62 point whatever years, that we are more concerned about our own selves than we are somebody else. And what I have found, and you can ask me later how I figured this out, personal experience, that if I keep concentrating on my own problems, my life begins to grow out of proportion. I no longer see that there's a need to my next door neighbor. I no longer care about my family. I become so self-centered, and people say, here we go again. That's one of the problems we have. We've become so self-centered. We no longer, and please, I understand business. I understand work. It's a major problem that we have worked so hard and so long, we have no time for anybody else. But Paul comes back and tells us we need something larger. Now, for all you who will say, well, that was written almost 2,000 years ago. Why should I believe it now? Because truth never changes. Amen? Black is still black. White is still white. 1 + 1 still equals 2. Hello. Some truths never change. And the truth is we need one another. That doesn't change either. Hallelujah. Paul tells us, quite bluntly tells them, that you are no longer individual units. You are no longer living your own life for your own reasons, hoping for your own outcomes. He says, you, when you came to Jesus, were baptized into his death and life and resurrection. That changed. And I'm really struggling with something in the last several months here, and you hear it in my preaching a lot, where we've kind of let go of things that really matter. And one of the things that really matter is each other. I'm not just talking about abundant life. I'm talking about the world. And more importantly, I'm talking about the church. We've gotten to a place where we're so consumed. Not sure what the answer is. I'm hoping to find it in this series. But we're so consumed with our own selves and our own needs, and God knows there are many. I find myself working more and more and more and seemingly accomplishing less and less and less. And in that I see less and less of people. Amen? So I'm not looking at you. I'm saying there's a problem that we have. But Paul puts this into perspective for us. Basically, he says, and I'm going to put it a little differently here. He says, you're not the most important thing anymore. He says here, we each used to. I like the term. We used to. He's speaking to the now, the present. He's not saying 25 years ago. He's saying right now, things have changed. Because you used to independently call your own shots. What does that mean? It used to be we were the only thing that mattered. Until the day we became born again. Until the day we became part of this body of Christ. All that really mattered, and we could get away with it, was ourselves. But he begins to talk to us and says, you know, you need to get a hold of something bigger than yourself. He's not talking about stature. He's not talking about weight or height. He's talking about something bigger than yourself. Hallelujah. God said we are created, we are made to be attached to and part of something larger than our own selves. Glory unto God. And in this, he begins to call forth the terminology of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He starts off by saying, you as an individual are important to the whole. I want you to think about this. What I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant and not less. I talk to a lot of folk. You talk to a lot of folk. We all talk a lot of folks. And what I usually find, and it has to do with something you said on Thursday night there, Tish, people really don't want to give up their private lives. And they'll make an excuse, well, God did this wrong and God did that wrong. Amen? Because I find, especially in America, and not so much in other nations I go to, but especially in America, we are the most fiercely independent people in the entire world. And if we tell somebody they need something or someone else, you'll probably get an argument. But Paul says, listen, this metaphor I'm talking about makes you more important, not less. Now, there's another couple of verses down. He's going to put the pride in its place. But right now, he's looking at people saying, listen, you're not giving up your rights to be an individual, but you're becoming part of something larger than yourself. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the corporate church of people coming together. Amen? A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. We're going to give you a word picture in a second here. I want you to just hang on to that. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. Human body. Think about the human body. We're not all just one big blob. We are a very complex creation, needing all kinds of different parts to do different functions, which brings us all together as a functioning unit to complete or do something we need to do. Brother John, you're a janitorial engineer, whatever they call that today. I've seen you at the school, and I've seen you use your back, legs, and arms and to do the floors and stuff up there. Now, I don't know which part of that anatomy you use the most. Any idea? Which part of your anatomy you use the most? Your back, maybe? Problem is, if all John was a back, he couldn't do that job. Anybody here type for a living? Anybody who use computers? Okay, mostly. Okay. You know what? One finger, I can tell you two together get a lot done. Hallelujah. But you need your entire body in order to use the computer. You field questions on the phone and so on and so forth. Your ear gets a lot of work. Probably your mouth does too, knowing you. Amen. I only said that because that's my daughter. Don't anybody get mad at me here. Hallelujah. I raised that child. I know it from where I speak. Can't understand where she gets it from. Hallelujah. But if all she was an ear and a mouth, she couldn't do her job. Paul is trying to tell us here, no matter what your place in the body of Christ, you are important. You are important if you sweep a floor. You're important if you teach a Sunday school class. You're important no matter what it may be. Whatever you think is the bottom of the scale. There is no scale. I'll tell you that later. But if you think that what you do is so unimportant, let me tell you today that you need to do what you do so others can do what they do. It's a body. Hallelujah. I hear silly people talk about things, well, we will evolve out of needing certain things. Yeah, okay. But the one they pick on, Brother Ron, says, well, eventually, look at your feet. Your toes are getting smaller. We won't need our small toe. Well, I don't know about that. I personally don't think I'm going to go back to being a sleuth climbing trees. But I'll tell you something right now, Brother Jeff, in the middle of the night, that unnecessary toe that I'm supposed to be growing out of, if I bang that puppy into a table, my whole body comes to his rescue and starts jumping up and down and screaming. And that's my toe. We don't say, well, that's not really important because someday I'm going to evolve out of it. Forget the pain. Okay? How's that all working out for people? It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning. I could preach on that one word, but I won't. We need to be functional. If the foot said, I am not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body. Anybody wearing jewelry today? I'm not going to preach against that. Okay, I just want to know if you're... I've been in some places, I'll discern that spirit upon their left hand. No, that's my wedding ring. And my foot, now I don't know about today, Brother Pear. I look down sometimes when I'm in the store and I see feet, toe rings and everything else. But usually, y'all judge for yourself, the foot's a lot uglier than the hand. Hallelujah. But just because the foot may not be as pretty as the hand doesn't mean you don't need it. Take it away and see what happens. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be gruff here. How can the hand, which may not be as pretty, excuse me, the foot as pretty as the hand, how could it say I don't belong to the body? And if it did say it, would that make it true? If my foot, my let's say that my little toe heard the news on TV that it was going to become extinct in a few thousand years, and my little toe went into rebellion and says, I don't want to be a part of this body, does that make it true just because the toe doesn't want to be a part or thinks it should be? Hallelujah. If the ear said, I am not beautiful like I, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head. Have you ever tried to hear with your eyeball? Now, I'm not trying to be silly here, but this was such a simple teaching, yet so profound that Paul brought it forth. You need your ear to do what ears are supposed to do. If you don't think you need your ear, hope you don't get like me as I'm getting older, ear is becoming lazy. Eye needs glasses and ear is going to need a hearing aid one of these days. But no matter what I do, I can't get rid of the ear and expect to hear through my nose. Never mind, I just had a picture. I don't deserve a place on the head. What would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. I remember very early in my education, my secondary education, one of the first books I had to read when I started studying counseling was a book on biology, anatomy. And I didn't quite, I should have picked up on it in the first few pages, but the people who wrote it were Christian. Minerith and Meir. You ever hear of them? Christian people. And I'm reading through this small textbook, and I'm getting excited. The more I read, the more my heart's pounding. The more I'm reading, I'm sensing the presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, that's kind of weird, you getting all Holy Ghost up because of a textbook. Oh, yeah. Because the more I read, the more complex I seen the body was, and everything in me was saying, God did this. God did this. And at the very end, the last paragraph, the author says, now, if you are a Christian reading this book, right about now, you're saying, glory to God. And I was. I would challenge everyone who's here. Go get a book. Any book. I don't care if it's a worldly book or not. And read through about the human body. And you'll find something in there that goes so far above evolution that you'll look at evolution and say, you've got to be kidding me. There is no way you can. God put us together just the way He wanted. Now, we're still talking, sort of, about the human body. Can you make the jump now from human body to the church? Does God know what He's doing when He made you what you are? Did God know what He's doing when He gave you whatever gift you have? And does He know what He's doing when He puts you in a certain place to do that gift with, to use that gift? We got to look at this thing and say, okay, if God is smart enough to put me together, is it possible He can put the church together? Or does the nose look at the Creator and say, I don't want to smell things? After all, the brain is more important. Well, let me just help you out with that. No one's the brain because Jesus is the head. But what if your ear says, I don't want to be an ear? You spend a lot of time in life going, huh? 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 You need the ear, musicians in particular. See, I know we could worship God if we're deaf because deaf people worship, but there's something about hearing the praises of God. God gave His ears. God gave us a nose to smell a beautiful flower. Someone was talking Thursday night about the creation around them and the beauty of it. There are some things I'd rather not smell, but there are some things, these beautiful creations of God, these delicate flowers, that are so beautiful. And I know you work in the chemistry industry, but you know what? All the chemists in the world really can't recreate that. I think it's somewhat close, but God already did it. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but put the guy peeking through the overhead at us there. That's just my sense of humor. Glory unto God. God has carefully placed each part of our body where He wants it to be. Now, we're going to kind of try to make a tandem leap here into verses 19 through 24. When God puts us in the church, we may think wrongly of ourselves. We may think ourselves, if we're small, we may look at ourselves and say we're bigger. That's good. But we can also get pretty prideful.
After all, I preach and you don't. After all, I teach Sunday school and you don't.
After all, you ain't all that. Hallelujah. Paul goes on and says, I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up in self-importance. God has a way of taking you from the bottom and putting you up here where you belong. But He has a way of taking us from way up here and bringing us back down to the same level. Some of us are so full of ourselves, we're like a helium balloon. If it wasn't for God tethering us down, we'd all float away. Hallelujah. Paul knew this is, for no matter how significant you are, it's only because of what you are a part of. My God, that's a sobering and liberating statement right there. I am important because of what I'm a part of. Doesn't matter what I do. Hallelujah. I can be a toe or a toenail. I can be, we're going to talk a little bit in just a couple minutes about things you can't even see. Do you know the most important parts of your body are hidden by skin? Amen? Some of us are trying to pop out. But what's behind that bubble? Brother Dave told me one time he was on the level. His bubble was in the middle. I identify with that. You can tell I'm on the level. My bubble's right in the middle. I like that. I've stolen that from you, brother. But I give you credit right here in public. I'll give you credit. Hallelujah. No matter how significant you think you are, without the body, you ain't nothing. Think for a moment. This is what we do on Thursday nights. Think for a moment. What part of the human body do you think is the most important? How many would say the heart's very important? Okay? The brain's very important. The lungs, all of that. But you know what? If you take that heart, as important as it is, and remove it from the body and set it on a shelf, two things happen. The heart dies, but then so does the body. God put us in the body. God put us in the church. God's put us in a place, not only for our own health, but for the health of the church. Think about that. I was going to do something, but it didn't quite fit. I mowed my lawn yesterday, and you've heard me talk about this apple tree, my wife's lovely, wonderful apple tree. I trimmed that bad boy. I really did. But you know, now that it's full of apples, it's hanging down again. And sure enough, here I come around the corner, boom, right in the face. Not only with a limb this time, but now it's loaded with apples. And I got thinking. Well, wasn't my first thought. But one of my thoughts. I blessed that apple tree. Anyway, I got thinking. I was going to go in the back part of our property and pick up one of the branches that I cut off several months ago. And I was going to cut off the one that smacked me in the face and ask you what the difference was. They're both branches. But that's another metaphor. We cannot separate, no matter what part of the body it is. The body will suffer. Now there's going to be somebody who says, well, I only need one lung. Good luck with that. I only need one kidney. Good luck with that. That's not the way we were created. For optimal strength, endurance, and successfulness, we were created with what we have in our bodies. I don't like it when doctors or anyone else says, well, you really don't need that anyway. Excuse me? Hallelujah. It's important to realize that we're a part of something. An enormous eye. Now, here you need your brain to think about this. Think of a one great big eyeball. I should have got a shirt with just an eyeball on it. Hallelujah. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand won't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and its proper place. No part is more important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower part, the more basic, and therefore necessary. The lower the part, the more basic, the more necessary it is. I've been trying to figure out how to say this, so I can't use the terminology that's in my mind. But I want you to think, and I'm going to put it on you. I want you to think about the most private part of your body that you don't want anyone to see. You keep it covered up, and you shouldn't be talking about. Now, you got that in your mind? I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to paint any more pictures. I know in my mind what part it is. Imagine yourself now without that part. It all depends what part you're thinking about. If you remove the part that you don't want anyone to talk about or see or discuss, your body is going to have a problem. You can't eliminate waste. You can't take in food. You can't, whatever it is you'd like to get rid of, you need it. It's there for a reason. Hallelujah. Think about the church again for a moment. No matter what your part is in the church, you are needed. Hallelujah. I mentioned this last week. I'm going to bring it up again, only because I can. We may come to church on Sunday or not come to church on Sunday, thinking, well, I'm just going to sit there. What have I got to do? The fact that you're not here means you can't greet a visitor. Means you can't pray with a sister or a brother who's hurting. Hallelujah. If you're not involved with the body of Christ, you cannot be part of or minister to or help out the body of Christ. Can you imagine for a moment?
I got to be careful. This gets funny.
I started to say imagine leaving your head home, but I think some people might. But can you imagine leaving your arms home? Can you imagine? I had a thought during worship. Sometimes I get more carried away, and the drummer over here will get it. He looks up, and I'm just banging my hands together. Bam! Bam! Years ago, I went to an outreach, and I brought a brother with me, good old Baptist boy. If I told you who he was, you all know him. Musician. And he was out, and for part of the worship service, he was out with the congregation. He comes up after me. He's looking at his hands. He's looking at me back and forth. He says, you know what, brother? I found out there's one basic difference between Baptists and Pentecostals. I said, what's that? You guys got tougher hands. We were just beating him, clapping, and his hands were hurting because of the service. Hallelujah. But can you imagine? I got a lot of sarcasm in me. I got to be careful today. Leaving your hands home, you can't clap them.
Here comes the sarcasm. For some, it wouldn't matter.
But imagine leaving parts of your body home because you didn't want to.
I'm going to leave my hair home today if you don't feel like combing it. I'm going to leave my skin home today. I don't feel like showering it.
I know it sounds stupid and silly, but many times we look at the body of Christ, the church, and there are pieces missing. Hallelujah. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't, you will become diseased. We need to take care of our hearts. Have you ever seen your own heart? I'm not talking about on a scan or have you ever seen your heart? Have you ever seen your stomach? Well, have you ever seen your I get a foretaste of it every time I look down, but you don't take your stomach out unless you're a surgeon. Have you ever seen your lungs? Have you ever seen your spleen? Have you ever seen your pancreas? We don't see those things, and yet you can't, I won't say you can't survive, but your body needs them to be healthy. Hallelujah. How many? I'll pick on this because I'm diabetic. I have never said, look at my spleen, or my pancreas, there it is. It's non-functioning right now, but look at it. But I'm going to tell you something. That puppy acts up. I know it. When it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, I know it. The body of Christ, the church, is meant to be the same way. It's not a show. It's not a show to say who's on top, who's on the bottom. It's all the same body. Can someone say amen? If anything you have, if anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. Leastways we need to. We're a very vain society. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion over full-bodied hair? Let me just say before you answer, we live in a vain society. I myself would probably take the Prilosec and make sure my hair was combed right. Hallelujah. But I much rather have a healthy heart than worry about how my toenails look. I'd much rather have a healthy pancreas than to worry about whether my beard is shaped just right. What Paul is trying to tell us here is that the things that are so obvious are not the most important. It's what's on the inside. It's all the different parts running together. This person over here on the right, that's what you see. The person on my left, your left too, is what's on the inside. You don't see what's on the inside. But without that skeleton and all those systems and the different organs, and I had a hard time matching those two pictures up, allows that person to run up that hill. It's all working together. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part, hallelujah, dependent on every other part. Now, I know there's a comma there, but I'm going to put a period for a second. I've said it for years, being an American, born an American, and will die an American, we are a fiercely independent people. No one wants anyone to tell them what to do. No one wants any correction. No one wants any direction. And yet the body of Christ, the church, we're all put together with every part dependent on the other parts. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. Y'all need to go home and play with this a little bit. When I was writing this thing out, I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's a lot of things I could but shouldn't say. Parts of your body that you may be ashamed of them, you hide them, you don't want to talk about them. You need them. The parts we see and the parts we don't. Here's our toe being stubbed again. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt. Say, oh, it's not so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. To repeat the thing I say a lot, if you're going through your home at night and you stub your little toe into the table leg, very few of us, if any, will stop and say, stupid toe. I'll come back and pick you up later. No. I don't think I can do this anymore.
When you hurt your toe, your whole body gets involved. Ah!
Your whole body comes to the rescue of the part that got hurt. Amen. Anybody here ever work on their homes a little bit? I know you do it for a living back there. And you take that hammer. Help me out here, brother, about a 24-inch hammer for framing. 24 ounce, a little more. You got a whole bunch of metal on the end of a stick. And you come wailing down. Your eyeball is on the head of the nail. And somehow, thumb gets in the way. Y'all feeling it? Okay. The body just doesn't say, get out of the way, thumb. Let me beat that. No. At that moment, the hammer is normally dropped, or at least goes to the side. The thumb goes to the mouth, which is good, because what's about to come out of the mouth should be muffled. He got it. Hallelujah. Your body comes to the rescue of the thumb or the forefinger. I think my forefingers are more tender than my thumbs. I'm not sure. I've hit them both. The whole body, hallelujah, comes to the rescue. I worked in a place one time. We used all pneumatic hammers. Nail shooters, you think hitting your finger with a hammer is hard? Try driving one through with a pneumatic gun. And I looked down, and here it is. I could see both sides and not the middle. My bone stopped it from going all the way through. But you know what? Not only my body, but my boss's body, my coworker's body, and the people in the ER all got involved. Now, for all you folks who work at the hospital, let me help you out with something. If I or me, someone likes me comes in with a nail driven through like that, forget the paperwork. Forget the x-rays. Take a pliers and get it out of my finger before the feeling returns to that particular digit. Hallelujah. I tried in vain to tell the doctors the ER that way. Just take the thing out. I can't feel it. Soon I will. And sure enough, I prophesied it right. In a few moments, they came in and wanted to take it out. And I go, not now! Give me something for the pain. I was in shock. My body was protecting itself. Hallelujah. But I didn't ignore it. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in that hurt and in the healing. We need the other parts of our human body to heal the diseased or the damaged part. Do you know with even the thought of hurt, you have a thing called the anatomic nervous system that kicks in and automatically begins to produce white blood cells, blood. I can't think of the chemicals to deaden pain. The body doesn't even know what happened yet, but it's ready to heal it. It's ready to heal itself. Hallelujah. We need to be the same way. The church, that's what Paul's talking about. We need to be involved in the healing of others. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. Hallelujah. If one part is happy, it's all happy. If one part is hurt, the whole thing should hurt. Glory unto God. We're almost done. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. If you take nothing else home from the scriptures today, take that home. You are. Everyone is. Male, female, young, old, black, white, doesn't really matter. You are the body of Christ. You are. That's who you are. And you must, never, never get that, child. Accept, let's never forget this, only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. Uh-oh. Without the rest of the body, my part is useless. Without me being in that body, the body is useless. We so need each other. Hallelujah. Only you accept your part. Read that. You're familiar with some of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body. The apostles, the prophets, the teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, prayers in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic unidimensional part. When I look out here in these chairs, I do not see a great big lung. I do not see a great big brain. I do not see a great big any. I simply see a complete body. Amen? That's what we're meant to be. It's not all apostle and not all prophet. It's not all miracle worker or healer. Not all prayer in tongues or interpreter in tongues. And yet some of you keep competing for the so-called important parts. The next verse I left out, we're going to start there next week. But behold, I show you a more perfect way. It's a matter of unity. It's a matter of knowing who you are. But it's a matter of using who you are and what you are, what God has given you, within the larger body of the church. Let's bow our heads for a moment. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. I tried to make it a little humorous. Didn't want to beat nobody up. Hallelujah. You, as an individual, the ecclesia, the called out one, the anointed one, the one filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood, baptized in the Spirit, sent forth by the hand of God. You are important. But your importance exacerbates, grows larger, as you join yourself to the entire church or body of Christ. Hallelujah. Just the same as you sit there needing your lungs, we sit here needing your presence. Just the same as the kidney has to filter all the poisons out of your body to make the body healthy, Your particular gift is needed to help us be healthy here. Whether you be in this church or another, you need to be a part of the body. Let me give you something real quick to think about. As I've read through this over the years, I think God showed me something. I'll share it and you can judge it. Hallelujah. God showed me, I believe, of course, that He is the body. So we talk about Jesus, we're talking about Him being the body. But I believe He also showed me that each organ, each system, like a nervous system or whatever, each part is like an individual church. So you look at the body, you see the lung, there's a lung church, there's a heart church, there's a spleen church. But each one of those organs is made up of individual little cells. Cell being the smallest part that we deal with. That's the individual. Again, I'm not a doctor, so what I'm saying may not be scientifically correct. But here's the way I got it, and I think I want to give it to you. Every cell is supposed to be a part of a particular organ. If you are a liver cell, you should be working with the liver. Again, if you're a doctor, the listeners on tape, you're saying, well, he's wrong. Okay, but just let's deal with the metaphor. If you are a lung cell and God made you a lung cell, you should be working with the lung church. Now think for a moment. If all the liver cells, individual people who were created to be working with the liver, decide they don't like the liver church. I want to go where the lung church is. After all, there's a lot of air. The pneuma, the Holy Ghost. I can't help but think. Now, here's where I'm on dangerous ground. I can't help but think that the liver is going to become unhealthy if all of the cells in that liver are over here in the lung. I read this the other night. I could be wrong. Some of you nurses help me out. Is it the liver that recreates itself every 72 hours? No, the lining of the intestines. I just read that. The lining of your intestines. What a way to end a sermon. Your guts, the inside lining of your intestine, renews itself every 72 hours. That's a whole bunch of cells. If all those cells are supposed to line the intestines, I got to be honest with you, if I had my choice, I probably wouldn't choose to be an intestine cell. Go figure. But if all the intestine cells are so busy hanging out with the heart, because that's most important, I got to hang out in the brainstem. That's more important. What happens to the intestine? And if the intestine gets sick, what happens to the body it's attached to? When you hear the word, you hear me use a lot, divine order. That's the kind of thing I have in mind. God set the church world in order. He has an order for us to follow. He has a place for us to be and a job for us to do there. Hallelujah. If you are an abundant life cell, you should probably be working with the abundant life organ, which hopefully we're working with the body of Christ, all for the good of the kingdom of God. Amen? When you're missing, we miss you. The body suffers. When we try not to do our jobs, the body suffers. If we try to do a different job, the body suffers. We just need, using Paul's teaching here, to be humble and say, I just need to be part of the body. You know what? I'm no important than anybody else in here. You know, Dave gets it. We missed Dave a lot last week, you know, with the so forth. But, you know, much as I enjoyed having you here today, that's no more important than Dolores who made coffee this morning. You see my point? We say, oh, Dolores, all she can do is make coffee. How many of y'all enjoyed coffee this morning? How many would have missed it if Dolores didn't make coffee this morning? See, that's the kind of thinking we need to develop. I said this last week or 2 weeks ago in Jess. Now, I've got to say it again, but the body working together gets the job done. The Holy Ghost does not show up here on a Saturday night and clean the church and make the coffee. It does it through people. Amen. Now, until just now, you may not have known who makes the coffee here. Everyone knows who leads worship, but you might not have known. I'm not trying to puff her up, but I'm trying to tell you that these two folks are equal. You see me up in the pulpit. You always figure out who I am. I'm in the pulpit every Sunday, but I am no more important than Sister Mary, who I caught in here on Thursday night cleaning the toilets. Now, I don't mean to take your blessing away from you by saying that, but the bottom line is, she's just as important. And in some cases, maybe more important than me standing in the pulpit. It's a matter of getting the job done. The body working together, moving forward. I kind of wish I knew. I'm not smart enough to know, not enough time to study. How many muscles it takes for me to take that one step? I probably take a couple of thousand of them during a Sunday morning service. It's not just my foot that's moving. It's just not my voice that's speaking. It's all these different parts and systems. Hallelujah. If my heart stops working, brother, you'll know within the next 2 to 3 minutes. I will fall down and be dead. But as much as our heart's important, just standing in the pulpit pumping doesn't get the Word of God preached. It's all working together. Is this making any sense to anybody? I think that Paul chose the most, and I know those who have studied anatomy and so forth, you're probably getting it a little easier than the rest of us did. But you know, again, Paul didn't write this to anatomists. He didn't write this to biologists. He wrote it to the common man. He used the most simplistic possible example to discuss the most complex thing in the world is, how is the church supposed to operate? This is how the church operates. Let me just say this. I can't help myself. I got to say it, Brother Dave. You and I know we're on the same boat with this thing. We don't hold votes to find out who's going the eye's going to be. You know how you can tell the eye of a body? It's seeing. Now how you can tell a deacon? Deacon, they're deacon. Charles Johnson told me a long time ago when I first came here. He said, "Brother, I don't know who am I supposed to pick. What am I supposed to do?" He says, "Here's how you pick your deacons. You sit back, you be quiet, you see who's doing the job. So the man who's deacon, he's your deacon." God, that's easy. Oh, Southern wisdom down there, you know. He didn't say it quite that way. He was like, "Yes, the hall's doing the work." Hallelujah. Just do whatever it is you're capable of doing. It's important. It's important. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God, for such a simplistic teaching to teach such a complex truth. Father, I pray, Lord God, that this part of the body of Christ would act and operate as the human body does. May we just do what we have to do. May we do what we're capable of doing. Not worrying about who's got a title, who's got this, and who's got that. But it's just doing the work. Hallelujah. In the midst of this prayer, I'm going to ask you to look at the board. There's a picture on there of a little country church. But there's another picture I superimposed upon of what the church should be doing. It's not a matter of a building. It's a matter of serving one another. Hallelujah. The body serves the body. The body serves the rest of the community. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray you'd reveal to each person their particular talents, their abilities. I pray, Father God, that those abilities and talents would be used within this particular body as well as the body of Christ throughout the world. Father, may we come together to do the work that needs to be done in Holmesdale and surrounding areas. May we do it effectively and efficiently with each part of the body working to expected levels. Hallelujah. May we do what we do unto Jesus and do it all for the glory of God. Amen. And amen. Could you stand to your feet for a moment? If you can, wherever you are, just kind of reach across the aisle or someplace and hold the hand of somebody next to you. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, as we join hands, as much as you can, maybe reach in front of you, whatever, anybody. Father, in Jesus' name, we stand before you. We are declared to be the body of Christ. I pray, Father God, we would perform our functions well, without complaint. Father, using the anointing you have given us to make this an effective expression of the body of Christ. May each one of us do our jobs. May we do whatever we can do, whatever we're created to do, that the entire body would be healthy in Jesus' name. Father, I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity. I pray success over God's people and all that they endeavor to do in your name. Father, may this church expand, may it multiply, just the same as any body that's functioning well will reproduce. I pray for life to come back. I pray for reproduction.